Our first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles. The word of God continued to spread and grow. After Barnabas and Saul completed their relief mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is called Mark. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So they, sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there's a common theme in today's two readings, and that theme is evangelization. Evangelization through signs and through teaching. In the Gospel reading from John, the signs come from Jesus. Jesus says, "I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness." Hence the signs here point to light over darkness. And in our first reading from Acts, we enter Acts at a time when Peter's signs have led to the word of God continuing to spread and grow. And along with those signs, Peter is teaching. And now Paul and Barnabas join him in that teaching. Paul begins his missions with this passionate teaching sent forth by the Holy Spirit. My friends, what is the link to today? I would suggest the link is the new evangelization proposed by Pope John Paul II way back in 1975. John Paul tells us that no believer in Christ, no institution of the church, can avoid this supreme duty, to proclaim Christ to all. I think we all know the problem, the graying and emptying of our churches. Where are the youth? Where are those non-practicing Catholics? The causes given by experts are many: secularism, science, materialism, selfishness, and even overchoice. I think that Ron Rolheiser, in his book The Shattered Lantern, perhaps says it best. And I quote, "We know what to do with someone who walks through our church doors, but we do not know how to get people who are not already going going to church to enter those doors. Unquote. So what is this new evangelization all about? Firstly, it's about a kind of re-Christianizing of Western culture. It's a recognition that Western culture has somehow forgotten its roots in Christianity. Secondly, following Vatican II, it's a renewed emphasis on lay responsibility for that evangelization, working with priests and with the bishops. And thirdly, it's surely a kind of teaching that is theological and moral and social. So, how do we approach the youth? How do we approach young adults? We clearly, I think, need a new model for faith formation. A model not based on simply dispensing dry information, but a model based upon giving our young personal experience. A model that does not simply force young people to listen, but engages them in full participation. A model that moves beyond the intellectual approaches of the past and instead identifies authentic passion in our youth. And this is the operative word, passion. Passion creates radicals for Christ. It creates loving mystics for Christ. It leads to inspiration. It leads to encouragement. It leads to collaboration. It also focuses on helping the suffering and less fortunate, something that young people really want to do. Have you not noticed how many young people are volunteering to help in different government projects? Have you not noticed how young people are volunteering to join the teacher corps? This, my friends, is a challenge for all of us today. Do we really believe that Christ is the response to broken dreams? Then we must be involved in this new evangelization. Do we believe that evangelizing the young is important? Well, if we do, again, we must be involved in this new evangelization. And finally, do we believe that accompanying the young is our responsibility? I'm sure that most of us do. The problem is that we are afraid of how to talk to and approach young people. Well, of course, the old saw is true. We just have to go out and do it. We must walk with the young as they search for meaning. We must accompany them on their journey. We need, in other words, to be actively and authentically present to them, to be actively and authentically attentive to them, to be actively and authentically open to them, and finally and most importantly, to be actively and authentically loving to them. Let us all participate in this new evangelization. There's no more important thing